May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. At the beginning of the church's year, we are invited to consider the end of all things. In preparation to celebrate the birth of Christ, we are encouraged to expect his imminent return, conscious that time is running out. But we are required not to get up and go, but to watch and to wait. A culture ill at ease with inactivity decries the apparent passivity of stillness. But in the ambiguity of Advent, waiting is the most active inactivity that we can do. But we are invited to do this with a very particular purpose in mind. Among the many questions Advent raises is, what do you know? What have you understood of God's purposes in the world? Advent invites us to gather together every fragmentary insight, every glimpse of truth, every brief encounter, and consider again where it points and what that requires of us. But it's also a very concentrated exercise. We have less than 4 weeks to engage with this, and in a time when there are so many other distractions. A challenge then, under constraint of time, to discern what is scurf and what is substance. Recognizing the brevity of human life, we are encouraged to look at eternal realities. In today's Gospel, Jesus speaks to his inner circle of friends of an event of cosmic significance and with profound implications for his followers. But it is an event of indeterminate date and time. About that hour, no one knows. There are many definitions of time, but one of them refers to the allotted amount of it at our disposal. The average human life is less than 1,000 months long, and therefore it is worth giving some thought as to how we should live it. For time is not a commodity to be disposed of, but an opportunity for us to pursue life in all its fullness and to come to terms with the limitations it places upon our existence. There have been many responses to time in human history. The early Stoics believed that history is circular, that every 3,000 years time ended with some catastrophe, then began again. But a Christian conception of history is that it has a goal, and at that goal, Jesus Christ will be Lord of all. Today, in the seasons of the church, time begins again. And it is a point of some significance that at the very start of time, we are invited to wait. So significant is this notion that Cardinal Newman defined Christians as those who wait for Christ. Of course, in a society that wants to have everything immediately, that values speed and productivity, and in which even Christians can be identified with frenetic activity, anyone who talks about waiting is not likely to be popular and may very well encounter total incomprehension. In fact, the root of the verb to wait in Latin, ad tondere, suggests an active stretching towards, a motion of the spirit in the direction of an other, a future. As Christians, we don't just wait, we watch. Ye watchers and ye holy ones, begins the hymn. But it's not just about what we are watching and waiting for. It is about an attitude towards time that enables us to fully live in the present. Our time is defined by what has happened, the Christ event, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what will happen, the consummation of time in the return of Christ in judgment. And we are destined to live in tension between these two poles. But if we ask what will characterize a faithful Christian existing in such a moment, then it will include such as ideas as living expectantly, as people who are fitting or unfitting ourselves to appear in the presence of God. Just 24 days of the year are given over to remind us that this is what we must do and be, to live in the shadow of eternity and respond to the gift of life, is to live in a way that says to the world, Jesus has come, Jesus does come, Jesus will come again. In a world desperate to teach time management to a 24/7 culture, there is something in the human psyche that means we often produce our best work when we are given a deadline to work to. The deadline of the Christmas feast signals the breaking open of the kingdom in the coming of the long-promised Messiah. A sign for a musical event that I once attended read Messiah Parking. But we know that if he had turned up that night and parked there, most of us might feel a little unprepared. We need to recover a notion that's given voice in the Jewish scriptures, a longing for God in which his coming is not to be feared, but welcomed. St. Paul gives thanks for the Corinthian Christians who in every way have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, so that they are not lacking in any spiritual gift as they wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark has Jesus warning of the cosmic signs and signs in nature that remind us that the moment will come for Jesus to return and that we should live as if this moment is imminent. This is not something to be frightened of, but to respond to, prepare for, and engage with. The faithful Christian is very far from being paralyzed by fear. Too many lives today are already limited by low-level anxiety induced by a culture which equates life with unsupportable activity. Rather, we are to be on our guard, that we are not weighed down with worry, liberated and free, because God's judgment will be just and merciful. As human beings, we live in an enormous hunger to be spoken to, touched, judged, and absolved, things we cannot do for ourselves. Advent calls us to both honesty and authenticity in our life of faith, living hopefully, watching for signs of the kingdom, anxious not for the morrow, because we know how the story ends. We are already playing our part in preparing for the final chapter. The challenge of Advent, then, lies not in accepting what may come, or even in idle hope. To believe in God's future is to see why it is vital to stay alert and take action in the present. Active waiting, alertness in the face of darkening skies, is what will enable us to endure. The Dominican Timothy Radcliffe speaks of Christians needing to be at the service of the happening of grace. At the service of the happening of grace. An Advent review of where we each stand in this task, of our availability to his mission, will prepare us for his coming and enable us to hear the words of the psalmist when he says, "Open wide your gates, let him enter, the King of Glory." And that is why the monk Thomas Merton said that Advent is the beginning of the end of all in us that is not of Christ. God of unveiled truth, faithful flame in times of darkened sun and waning moon, lift up our unknowing hearts and waken our sleeping love to announce the coming dawn of unexpected peace through Jesus Christ, the one who is to come. Amen. Amen.